It's still all right to raise your hands and bow in Georgia and say, thank you, Lord. Just go and throw your hands up to him. It'll be good. You go to waving to him, he'll wave back at you, friend. And I'm going to tell you, I'm glad that we can still glorify and magnify the Son of God who hung and died and took the sins of the whole world. And I'm glad he died for me, glad he died for you. The Bible said he paid a ransom for all. Now, we spoke last week out of Nehemiah chapters 1 through basically chapter 3 on building a wall. Nehemiah had a great burden. Boy, if it's ever been a day and time, we ought to have a burden for some things that are tore down. It is today. Can I remind you that the walls from the world and the church has been tore down? You know something? God never intended the church to be like the world. And God never intended the world to be like the church. There's a separation there. And so, you know something? We don't get in the government's business. I don't know why they want to get in our business. Amen. And so I just say, keep eating more chicken by the grace of God. Amen. Matter of fact, I'm willing to give $10 for a Chick-fil-A sandwich today. Somebody say amen right there. And so certainly our walls are broken down and then our gates are burnt. You know, the gates of praise, a lot of things need to be repaired. Nehemiah seen the need. He had a burden. And so this morning in Nehemiah 4, for sake of time, I'm going to read just a few verses and let you be seated. The Bible said, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth. He took great indignation and he mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Or will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall break down their stone wall. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you and we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the Spirit of God that we feel in our hearts this morning. I sure am thankful, Lord, that I can go to a Bible preaching church. Thank you, Lord, that I go to church where we can worship you in spirit and in truth. Now I pray, Lord, you'd empty me of myself and you'd fill me with your presence. I pray you'd let preaching be easy today. And would you bring the things to my heart and my mind that I've studied? And I pray, Lord, and I ask you that I could be a blessing to your people today. I plead the blood about this fellowship. I pray you'd protect us. I pray you'd add to it as you see fit. You've been so good to us, and we want to say thank you today. Help us now. I sure do need you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. And amen. I'm still preaching on the thought today on what a need to be a Nehemiah. What a need to be a Nehemiah. I'm glad Nehemiah is still in my Bible. Not only what a day to be Daniel, but boy, what a need to be Nehemiah. Now, I want to give you the outline just to sort of review your memory and get right in on what's on my heart today. But we talked about on this need to be a Nehemiah. In chapter 2, there were facts that were presenting. Facts that were presenting. There were some facts there. As I've already alluded to, the walls were broken down and the gates thereof were burnt with fire. The homeland was consumed. Have you got the email? Have you got the text? Have you got the phone call? Have you read the newspaper that, boy, our country is in a mess? We have a president that believes in same-sex marriage. That's amazing to me. The Bible says that is an abomination before God. We have a president that is trying to make us a socialist economy. And certainly I still believe right is right and wrong is wrong. And I think we ought to be praying for the leadership of America. Oh, how we need to be praying for the leaders that are making the decisions for not only us, but for our children and grandchildren. And so I want you to know there were facts that were presenting. He got a hold of the facts because there was a focus that was productive. He went and he viewed the walls at night. And he went and he got a great burden. And then not only was there a focus that was productive, but there was a formation that was profounded. He got the people together to do a great work. And I said last week that you'll find that in chapter number 2. And if you really believe that this is a good work, you will attend it. And I'm glad we got a good work going on here. And may I say it's a work. It is a struggle, and it'll always be a struggle building the things of God. And so attend it, and then we ought to accept responsibility for it. We ought to pay our tithes to it, and we ought to be faithful to it. Amen. And so we ought to appropriate things to it, and we ought to appreciate it. We ought to advertise it, and we ought to agonize about it. And we ought to anticipate great things of this great work of what God has done in this day and this hour. So we've seen a facts that we're presenting, a focus that we're productive. But this morning I want to preach on a foe that is protesting. A foe that is protesting. Let me tell you, the devil's not your buddy. The devil is your enemy. He's no respecter of person. You say, well, I don't have no devil trouble. Well, just hang on. You'll have some in a little bit if you go to building. Amen. And if you go to binding things up and restoring things. Now, the foe that was protesting them. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. It came to pass that when Sanballat heard. I want to say, first of all, he is a hearing devil. He is around. Now, I believe this with all my heart. The devil wouldn't know as much about us if we wouldn't tell him. God is omnipresent. God is omniscient. God is in every place at one time, but the devil can't be. But boy, he's got a lot of demons. Matter of fact, a third of them was cast out of heaven. I don't know how many of them it is, but it's a bunch of them. They followed him and they report back into him. And a lot of times the devil wouldn't know stuff if we didn't tell him. He wouldn't know your weaknesses if you didn't talk about it. And he wouldn't know your deepest secrets if you wouldn't tell him about it. I've noticed I've been careful lately of what I tell the devil about, because he'll turn it on you and use it against you. And so I want to say he's a hearing devil. He's around. Come to pass it when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall. Now he's a hearing devil, but he knows only what he hears. Look in Ephesians 6 and verse number 12. You say, well, I don't believe in all of that, preacher. Well, that's why you're goofy this morning. Ephesians 6 and verse number 12. Now watch this, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, I've got some boys here that's big enough to wrestle flesh. I could call about six of you, and I know you'd make a pretty good representation of whooping somebody. And wouldn't it be easy if we could just accomplish things by whooping somebody? But that don't accomplish nothing, because we wrestle not. Look what he said. It's a struggle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against, watch this, spiritual wickedness in high places. Spiritual wickedness. You don't hear many preachers preaching on wickedness no more. I want our church to grow, but you hear me and you hear me real good. Don't think it's a surprise if wickedness is preached on here. Don't think that it's a surprise that if we name sin, sin. God said rebuke before all that others may fear. Now we don't soft soap preaching here, and we try not to have foolish preaching here. He said he chose the foolishness of preaching, not foolish preaching. It's a lot more to preach on than cigarettes, long hair, and lipstick. And I think you women ought to dress right. Boy, that was two amens. And I think you men ought to dress right. And I think we ought to talk right. We ought not have a smutty mouth. And you'll see this spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, it ought not surprise us that wickedness, spiritual wickedness, is condoned from high places. Now it's okay in our land, same-sex marriage. You know, it's fine to shack up. It's all right. It's fine. Go on and get you a nice drink. Go on, smoke you a little weed. Nothing's wrong no more. But let me tell you, in the eyes of God, sin is still sin, and we've got a hearing devil this morning. So a hearing devil, I want you to be sure he's around. Number two, he's a heated devil. He's angry. Look what he says now. Turn back over to that text. He said in Nehemiah 4, verse number 1, said, when Sanballat heard that we builded the walls, 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 that we builded the wall. Lord, I didn't see that. It ain't walls, it's a wall. Didn't we take a wall out here? Didn't we take a wall out of here? Well, guess what? He's a heated devil. He's angry. He's a hearing devil. He's around. He's a looking. He's a seeing. But I'm going to tell you, I got news. By the grace of God, there's going to be another wall one day. Because I believe our God's that big. And I believe that there still needs to be somebody telling folks that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And there's a heaven sweet and there's a hell hot. And I'm just crazy enough to believe God is going to send enough people in to fill that wall up. I'm just that crazy enough. Now the Bible said that when he heard that we builded the wall, that we builded the wall, not one man done it, but we did it, he was wroth. Some of you can relate to that because you live with a woman like that. Some of you can relate to that because you live with a man like that. Wrath, boy, it means to be hot and furious, to burn with anger. They was believing and they was building and they was bettering. But I'm going to tell you what, they was a bothering. The devil ain't worried about us as long as we just sitting around not doing nothing. The devil's not going to worry about you if you're not working on your home and building things up in your life. Let me tell you, we still got character to build. I tell you, a real good character that you can work on, it's how you treat people you don't need. I tell you, good character you can build on is who you are on Monday, not on Sunday. We still got some things to build up. Our walls need to be built at our homes. Boy, I'm going to tell you, it's a time of building and believing, and so he's a heated devil. He's angry. He's a hearing devil. He's around. But look in verse 7. He's a hatching devil. He's abundant. Boy, if he is by himself, we'd have it made because he probably wouldn't be here. But our issue is this. He's got a lot of imps. He's got a lot of demons that's hanging around the places where they building and bettering and bringing. Watch what happens. You say, well, he's a hearing devil, he's around, he's a heated devil, he's angry, but he's a hatching devil, he's abundant. Look in verse 7, more devils show up. But it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdots heard the walls of Jerusalem were made up and the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Boy, we've got a real devil today. And so he's a hatching devil. Boy, he just breeds and brings more devils against you. You know, new levels, new devils. You watch this. When you're just satisfied with your life, nothing's going to happen much. But you go to taking it to another level for the grace of God, you're going to fight a new devil. Now, he's a hatching devil. He brought more with him. But I want to preach on this topic. He's a hindering devil. He's active. Look in verse number 8. Conspired all of them together to come and fight against Jerusalem. And there's the word. And to hinder it. It means simply to build a ditch to make you fall, to not let you get to where you need to be. Remember, Paul said he wanted to go in new doors and do new things, but the devil hindered him. That amazes me why God allows the devil to hinder a place. You ever thought about that? As much God loves us, much control as God has, that he allows the devil to do things? And I won't leave you hanging there. I'll clarify that statement in a few minutes. But I've always wondered that. But I want to focus simply on this thought right now. He's a hindering devil. He's active. Now, I'm going to tell you something. He's got a lot of dirty tricks. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse number 11. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse number 11. The Bible says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Boy, he's got a bag of tricks. I want to show you the first one he used on Nehemiah. It's found in chapter 4, verse number 1. It's called, he has a trick of derision. He mocked and he laughed at him. Now, the Bible said that when he heard he builded the wall, he was wroth, took great indignation, and he mocked the Jews. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of people that can stand against anything except criticism. There's a lot, and hey, watch here. This is good. Watch it. Y'all so dead. When I'm done with this, I'm fixing to run, I think. Criticism, two things. Remind me if I got sidetracked, but Tim, I got another one. Number one is, it's not what they call you, it's what you answer to. It's not what they call you, it's what you answer to. Number two, about criticism. He mocked him. He laughed at him. You know how to keep people from criticizing you? Do nothing. Say nothing. Be nothing. You won't have no critics. Young people, you fixing to start to school. I understand Harrison County's already started. If you're going to carry a Bible, if you're not going to listen to their jokes, and if you're not going to go to their dope-smoking and beer-drinking parties, and if you're not going to go on the back roads and park at midnight with a little old boy that'll get you in trouble, they're going to mock at you, they're going to ridicule you, and they're going to laugh at you. But honey, don't answer to it. It depends upon you if you answer what they call you. Now, derision. A lot of people can handle anything but people talking about them. And I'll be honest with you, it gets under my skin. It's a difference in somebody lying on me and making fun of me. Now, I can handle the making fun, but I don't like people lying about it. You see, the derision was great ridicule. You know, critics know everything but the truth. They say everything except the right thing. They're willing to cover any subject but themselves. Lord, that felt so good. I'm fixing to say all that again. He said, critics know everything but the truth. I've heard some of the craziest stuff about this church. Well, you got to show somebody your W-2s. That's the craziest thing I've ever... And then somebody said they lock the doors when I start preaching. We ought to. Some of y'all looking like this. They're going to talk about you. Look what they done. He mocked him. Well, what's that little old bunch going to do? Boy, I remember we was in that storefront building over there in front of the Southern Lady Cafe. We put Liberty Baptist Church on the glass. Boy, the ridicule and the mocking. Oh, he's starting a church. I've heard this 100 times. Ain't we got enough churches? Yeah, we got enough buildings. We got enough mossbacks sitting around calling the shots on a preacher. We got enough mossbacks stifling the mission fund. We got enough mossbacks voting on everything from fixing the ice machine to changing oil in the van. Did you know I talked to a preacher come here the other day? He said the last church I left, they voted on changing the oil in the van. How goofy. I mean, that's borderline ignorant. If the air conditioner's broke, fix it. If the water fountain's broke, fix it. Show me voting in the Bible and I'll eat it. Go on, I've been to Bible school. Show it to me. Show me your little Baptist traditional vote. And I'll eat a pew and give you all day Saturday to watch it. Oh, we got enough buildings. We got enough dog and pony shows going on. We got enough places where it's all about them. What about building a place for Him? Derision. Boy, he mocked them. He ridiculed them. Then verse number 10, he left there. He went to his another bag of tricks. It's one of the strongest ones he's got. And it's called discouragement. Verse number 10, Judah said, the strength of the bearers of the burdens is decayed, and there is so much rubbish that we're not able to build the wall. I heard the devil had a yard sale. Said that he had every one of his tools out in the yard, had a price on them. He said he had one over there in the chair. He was sitting by, leaning against his chair. The man come up and he said, how much is that? He said, it ain't for sale. He said, why ain't it for sale? He said, because it's the most important tool I got. He said, what is it? He said, it's discouragement. Can I tell you, when the devil can put the shovel or the mattock of discouragement in your heart, it cuts to the bone. He got his people discouraged. You know what God's taught me now as an older pastor? You people listen to what you preach at. Did you know if you keep a stink stirred up, it'll keep a stinking? Where no wood is, there the fire goes out. Boy, as a young preacher used to, in hard times and time, I'd preach on it 6 straight Sundays and everybody knows what my text was. But you know what I've learned? Let's just point people to Jesus and get our eyes off the devil and get to looking to somebody that can change our situation. Boy, I'm going to tell you, he'll try his best to discourage you. I mean, he will get you looking around saying, well, there is much rubbish. Look in verse 10. He'll get you looking at everything's wrong and nothing that is right. I wish some of you would quit hunting a reason to leave and go to hunting a reason to stay. And I wish as several families here could hear this sermon this morning. You say, well, preacher, you laid on preaching it. No, the Holy Ghost told me last night to preach it. I think I'm right on the mark. Discouragement. Boy, he said, Judah said, that's where they is building. The strength of the bearers of the burdens decayed. There is much rubbish, and we're not able to build the wall. Boy, he loves to get you discouraged. He'd love to get Brother Tim discouraged in the choir. He'd love to get all the people on the instruments discouraged. He'd love to get your preacher so discouraged. The other morning before church started, I had a couple of our men here early take me in that prayer room in there. And when I come out, it was a new preacher. Some of y'all went in there last Sunday morning. Did y'all get any help? Boy, his bag of tricks is discouragement. Then number three, you'll notice in verse number 11, he loves to present danger. Verse number 11. Our adversaries said they shall not know, neither see, do we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. Boy, he loves to get you scared. If he can get you scared and laid down, that's how he gets you. You know how the lion catches most of his prey in the jungle? He roars and they cow down and lay down and he pounces. If it's ever been a time the people of God need to raise their heads up, pull their chins up, pull their bootstrings up, because he said, when you see these things coming to pass, raise up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. There's a homecoming coming in the morning. Jesus is coming. Are you going? Danger. Then chapter 5, verse 1, discord. There was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren, the Jews. He loves discord. But I can tell you this, God hates discord. I hope some of you Facebook friends are here this morning. Look on up in here and get you some of this country preaching now. Proverbs 6, verse number 16. Discord. Six things doeth the Lord hate, and if he hates them, I sure don't want to be a fooling with them. A proud look. He hates pride. I wish some of you pretty folks, the Holy Ghost would come on you and you'd embarrass yourself. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and run into mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Anybody can say something by text or on Facebook. If you got an issue with somebody, why don't you crawl up in there and be a man or be a Christian and go to the source and say, I got an issue with you, and let's get it fixed out, instead of you throwing them little darts on Facebook. Sometime when folks act stupid on Facebook, this hand wants to get stupid. I'm fessing up. Put her in her spot. Booyah! And then everybody sees who's crazy. Me. Don't you realize Facebook's telling on you? They put a picture in there last night, one of my kids did, when I'm in an old Pepsi uniform when I had hair. Everybody in church done seen it. Don't you realize what you putting on Facebook? Everybody's reading it. I'm going to put them in their place. Now, this is what you don't understand. Watch. You ready? This is pastoring 101. You ready? That arrangement right there, there's a couple of them I don't like the looks of them. But if I reach in there and jerk one out, it may be four or five hooked to it, and I knock a big hole in it. You better be careful who you're talking about, and you better be careful who you're pointing your finger at, because it may be other folks attached to them. Let God sort it out, and you keep your mouth shut. I know this pew was open today. It's for a good reason, preaching. Anybody can say something ugly on Facebook. Get you some guts and get on up in their face. Y'all ever seen somebody act goofy on Facebook? I mean, you really wanted to put something. And I'm going to tell you, they really needed to hear it. But you don't know who was hooked in that. And Brother Kevin, years ago, I found out when I was trying to blow one out, I was killing 100 sheep with it. You know a verse God gave me 7 weeks ago, eight? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Discord. He loves to get folks against one another. You know, I could help you this morning if you had time for preaching. We're not each other's enemy. I want to help my good deacons out this morning. I want to take a load off them. If you got an issue with me, come see me. Don't put it on my good deacons. Brother Ken preaches too long. Brother Randall, ain't you one of the deacons? Brother Mike, ain't you one of the deacons, a preacher? He's holding us too long and he's saying too much rough stuff. Tell you what y'all need to tell them. What y'all heard on the streets is a lie. The door ain't locked. Brother Adam, ain't you a deacon? Probably lose you for long. God's good at calling. Now listen, if y'all want to be a preacher, just raise your hand up and I'll make you a deacon. Brother Randall, I don't know how you've dodged it 20 years, son. 21 years he's dodged being a preacher. Brother Huey, watch out, Miss Frame. I had to be a preacher's wife. Discord. You know something? If you've got somebody between you and God, if you've got an ought against somebody, they're closer to God than you are. I'm a scholar and y'all didn't know it. Let me say that again. If there's somebody between me and God, they closer to God than I am. Y'all look like you need some preaching over here this morning. Lord, I don't know if that matches or not. It's pretty making my eyes cross. But if there's something between me and my God, they closer to God than I am. Discord. The devil says he hates that junk. God hates that junk. The devil loves it. Sister, that matches you. It's nice. Discord. We're never more like the devil when we play with discord. Boys' tricks. I got to hurry. Look at chapter 5, verse 3. Depletion. You got to messing with their money. Some also there were there that said, we've mortgaged our lands, vineyards, and houses. We might buy corn because of the dearth. Boy, he loves to deplete resources. Boy, a hindering. I'm still preaching on a hindering devil now. Depletion. I dread Christmas sometimes. Santa Claus will get you tithe money that Sunday. And we still trying to run nearly 50 missionaries out of here, and y'all saying, ho, ho, ho. And they saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. We trying to pay 4 payments a month on this building. God's been a blessing it. Well, there's been a lot of times I'll get what the offering was. How are we going to make that? Brother Lee, you said something sitting over there one night in testimony. God's math ain't our math. Ooh, I'm sure glad. He knows how to make things work, don't he? Depletion resources. Has he ever tried to discourage you because you had more month than you had money? Has he? Then watch this, chapter 6, verse 1, distractions. He loves to distract you from doing what you need to do. Came to pass when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arabian, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall, there was no breach left therein. That Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages of the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. Look what he said. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? I ain't going to their level. I'm not swallowing their goldfish. And I'm not promoting their laser shows and their big screens and their pony rides. And it may come a day that we go out yonder some way and we need a big screen. We so old and we got letters this tall because we can't read our Bibles no more. But I'm going to tell you what big screens do. I like what our assistant pastor said. A lot of places has got them in there because they don't want preaching. They want to watch the ball game. The suburban doors open if anybody wants to put some tomatoes or onions or blackberry preserves, just put them in there. Say, that's good preaching, preacher. Boy, the old devil, he's got a bag of tricks. Bag of tricks, man. He loves distractions. He wants you to come down from doing what you're doing. Get you distracted. Get you distracted. He'll let a baby cry and you just focus on it. I'd hate to know that I as a preacher couldn't preach above a baby squalling. Now, if you'd go to spanking on something beside them Pampers, that'd quit some of that foolishness. I wish my daddy would have whooped me on a Pamper. I'm going to tire you up. Go get the necktie and whoop Johnny. That little devil, he done got some mean. You wonder why. He's a ruling the roost. Get his attention. Get her attention. I'd hate to know a four-year-old was calling my shots. Matter of fact, they never did. My mom and dad never did ask me, was we going to church? Well, distractions. Come down. Don't get distracted on what God wants you to do. What's God want you to do? He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be sanctified. He wants you to be spirit-filled. He wants you to say thank you. Yes, sir. Don't get distracted. Devil would love to distract you. You know, this is amazing me how the devil will work. I can come in, I say, hey, Brother Tim, I love that tie. And the devil will tell him, preacher hates that tie and he's making fun of you. And now you sat in the whole service thing about what I said about your tie and you ain't got nothing about what God had to say to you. And boy, we go out chunning, we get distracted in our jobs, and we forget about what we need to be doing every day. If Sunday's the only day I'm getting any book or any praying, I'm going to tell you, I'm in a bad situation. Got to hurry. I know I got to hurry. Now, he's a hearing devil, he's around. He's a heated devil, he's angry. He's a hatching devil, he's abundant. But he's a hindering devil. He's active. Now, I want to tell you how Nehemiah encouraged the people. I want you to look how a true leader handled things. Nehemiah was a leader. Can I say most churches don't want a leader? They want a follower. Now, preacher, you do as we tell you do. And our building's done got too big. You're running visitors off of what you're saying. Well, that's how places become commercialized. I don't want to be a mean preacher, but I'm going to tell you what the book says. And I'm glad you, I'll tell you what you do. Turn around right now, by your neighbor, say, I'm glad you come over here this morning. Turn around and tell, Brother Gerald, tell Miss Peggy, say, I'm glad you come over here this morning. I'm not here to run nobody off. But I'm not here to watch this place turn liberal, neither. There are no biggins, and ain't no little. We need everybody here. Look how Nehemiah encouraged the people. First of all, he armed them. Chapter 4, verse 13. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places. I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. He armed them. Well, I'm going to tell you, we better stay armed. We better stay armed with prayer, with Bible reading. Hey, boys, do all you want. Get mean, tough as you want. You're not going to whip the devil in the flesh. He armed his people. Look in verse 14. He assured his people. I love what he told them. He said, I looked and rose up and said to the nobles and the rulers and the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, sons, daughters, wives, and houses. He said, I want you to remember the Lord. Hey, if the Lord be for you, who can be against you? He armed God's people. He assured God's people. He aroused God's people. And if this right here don't put fighting in you, you ain't got no fight in you. Look what he said also in verse 14. He said, remember the Lord which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren. Fight for your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your house. Ain't your young'uns worth fighting for? I mean, if that don't get you stirred up, I mean, you just a bona fide wimp. I don't want the devil toting my babies off, putting them in hell. Hey, look up here, young people. You young'uns can't drive. Get your hide to church.
Somebody hurt my feelings.
Oh, yeah? What if you've been standing here nearly 20 years preaching? Wonder how many times your feelings would have got hurt. You better have something in your heart. He assured them. He aroused them. Let me tell you, you look around. Some of your granddaddies, you got grandbabies sitting here. If we don't keep these walls built and this thing in tune, where's your grandbabies going to get saved? They ain't getting saved down yonder. It better be worth a fight to you. If I was a devil and could blow you off your beach, I'll do it. And you better determine in your heart, if you're going to be in a Holy Ghost ministry where they're preaching the Word of God, I'm going to stay with the stuff. You ought to not be here for nobody else but to worship God and your family. Every man his own house and his young'uns and his wife. Why, some of you boys, if a man was to walk in a screen door and grab your wife, pull her out in the car, you wouldn't raise your voice. Why, you a wimp. I mean, spineless. That's low as a man can go to sit there and watch somebody take his wife. It ought to rouse you. What about your little grandbabies? Let me tell you something. I've got girls now, their boys, they married big enough to take care of them. But I got grandbabies. Don't you mess with grandbabies. Can I get a witness? Is anybody still with me this morning? Don't mess with grandbabies. You'll get your jaws popped. Wonder how many little grandbabies will come in here and get saved. Wonder how many wives and husbands come in here and get saved. Wonder how many houses will be protected and maintained. Sir, let me tell you something. You're 6 weeks from destruction. You know what this world's got for you? Nothing. You know what that dope's done for you? What it done for me? Nothing. The devil loves. Verse 15, he applied God's people. You know what he said? Come to pass when our enemies heard that it was known to us, God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. Everybody can't be a preacher. Brother Adam said it. Everybody can't sing. Everybody can't play. Everybody can pray. You know what he done with his people? He applied God's people. He got them back busy doing the things that they needed to do. Let me tell you, the best thing to cure discouragement is to go see somebody. The best thing to get out of a pity party is to go see somebody. How many times have I felt so low and felt so useless, and I made myself get in that Suburban and go see a family or go see somebody that needed it, and before long, it wasn't me encouraging. It was them encouraging me. Every family went to their post. Everybody here has got a work to do. When you miss, you discourage. You get people worrying, where are you? You say, preacher, don't worry about nothing. I know it's in the Bible, it's hard to apply it. But when I see 7 or 8 families gone, I want to know where they're at. And I wouldn't be much a preacher if it didn't bother me. And you wouldn't be much of a Christian if it didn't bother you. Everybody went to their post. I don't know whether to give an invitation. I don't know whether to run. I don't know whether to shout or preach more. I'm the sort of spot I don't know what to do. But I can tell you what this leader did. He had them to quit focusing on the devil and get them focused on what they need to be doing. And then look what he done. Chapter 4, verse 19. He assembled God's people. This right here is so good. Wish I had time, but I'm busy quit of preaching. And I said to the nobles and the rulers and the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we're separated from the wall one from another. Watch verse 20, Brother Jake. In what place thereof you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, our God shall fight for us. He said, don't get too far apart and assemble yourselves when you hear the trumpet. I'm glad I'm waiting to hear the call. But I can tell you another thing. He wanted them assembled. Listen, don't tell me you don't get help by coming to church. You say, well, I don't need church but once a week. Boy, I need more than that. Now, I want you to look what the Bible says. You wonder why me and Brother Mike stay on it all the time. Hebrews chapter number 4. Now, Hebrews 10. Go to Hebrews 10 and 20. Hebrews 10, 25. Not forsaken, the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let me tell you something. God wrote that verse for a reason. To help me and you. Y'all know where I'd be if I was out of this church for 6-7 weeks? Y'all wouldn't know me. Boy, I'd have me a bike and a big dip of Copenhagen and a do-rag. I would. I know me. A lot of y'all looking real pious. So let me tell you, you stay on out there about 6 weeks. Let's see where you get. I get to treat my wife bad, quit loving my granny. I mean, I just go crazy. I'm not in religion. I'm in keeping things real. This thing's high maintenance. You hear me? You asked your wife how much it's helped our marriage. Asked her how much it's helped our home. You say, is any of this real? Yep, sure is. It's all real in that book. And it'll fix things. And it's there to help us. I'm glad I'm here today. I'm just glad I'm here today. Is anybody glad to come to church? Anybody tell you we had church tonight? Anybody tell you we have Wednesday night prayer meeting 7:30? I know folks got to work. I'm not lamb blasting you, just reminding you. Don't go see the deacons. Come see me. These boys busy praying for me. Leave them alone. We've got a lot to be thankful for. Now, this last thing I'm going to do, and I want you to notice how they succeeded in getting the work done and keeping the enemy at bay. Four things. Here it goes. Verse 6, they had a mind to work. So built we the wall. All the wall was joined together to half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Verse 6 is half done. Let me tell you what, we're in halftime. You say, oh, you a young preacher. I'm not in halftime. You ever know anybody live to be 102? I'm more than half gone. If you're 50 years old, I want to go and tell you right now, more than likely, it's more than half over for you. Halftime. You that are 60, I don't want to see you at 120. And I sure don't want to feel me at 120. They had it half finished. And you know what they done? They had a mind to work. We're just halfway there. We're not done. Look up here, and I'm fixing to quit in a minute. It's 12:15. I said in a minute. I didn't tell you what minute I was going to quit on. This is halftime. We just half done here. My goal's 100 missionaries. We're nearly to 50. But it's not going to happen till the people has a mind to work. How they keep the devil at bay, how they have victory even though the devil fought them. They had a mind to work. Verse 9, they had a heart to pray. Verse number 9, they had a heart to pray. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Boy, we need to pray. Church, we need to pray. That's one of the few weapons we've got, but it's the best weapon that's in our arsenal. Pray. Prayer does change things, by the way. Verse 9, they had an eye to watch. They set a watch against them day and night. You better set a watch. You better watch. It's talking about going on vacation in September. A lot of folks go on vacation. They lay their Christianity down. They just go somewhere and act crazy. You better watch on vacation. You better watch at your job. You better watch when you get off. Day and night. They had a mind to work. They had a heart to pray. They had an eye to watch. Verse 14, they had an ear to hear. What a need to be Nehemiah. What a need. You know something? And also, he's a helping devil. But you know what God used him to do? To get the wall built. Got their tools back sharpened. Got them back to praying. Got Nehemiah out of the throne. Got him out on the battlefield of working. The devil meant it to shut them down. You know what God used it for? To build it up. Let me tell you something. The devil can't do no more than what we let him do. You hear me? The devil don't tear a church up. People do. Stand with me. We're going home. I know some of you are glad. I'm glad I'm saved.